You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Legend has it that Crystal Lake was once a place of great beauty and tranquility, a haven for those seeking solace in the embrace of nature. But beneath its placid waters lies a history steeped in blood and tragedy, a tale of unspeakable horror that has seeped into the very fabric of the land. For generations, locals have whispered of the curse that hangs over Crystal Lake. A curse born from the vengeful spirits of those who have met their untimely demise within its murky depths. From the tragic drowning of a young boy to the unsolved murders of countless others, the lake has become a magnet for darkness and despair. Welcome to Destination Terror, your passport to the scariest places in the world. From haunted hotels to locations of unexplained creature sightings, and even places that we can only visit in our imagination, we will travel to places that will provide excitement, adventure, and horror. Today we're visiting Crystal Lake, one of the scariest fictional locations in horror movie history. So if you're into travel and all things scary, listen close and you might just discover your next exciting adventure destination. But hopefully, not your final destination. Destination Terror is an Eeriecast original podcast hosted by me, Carmen Carrion. If you would like to send us a suggestion or submit a story with your own experience, you can email them to carmencarrion@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter @carmencarrion. If you enjoy the show, please follow and rate Destination Terror on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to help us grow. Also, check out eeriecast.com for more scary podcasts, such as Freaky Folklore, the podcast where together we explore horrifying legends across the world and tell terrifying tales of monsters both ancient and modern. The weathered sign at the entrance to the small, secluded town proclaimed, "Welcome to Darkwater." Its words obscured by layers of peeling faded paint. Marcus, Becca, Randy, and Dacia were headed to a cabin that was supposed to be on the other side of Darkwater, nestled at the edge of Crystal Lake. They had rented the cabin for a week in order to make a movie for their film class. Becca let out a curse as the Bronco's tire plunged into an unexpectedly deep pothole. Marcus chuckled as she clung to the steering wheel, determined not to lose control of the vehicle. "It's gonna take a lot more than a pothole to knock this baby off the road," he assured her. The Bronco had been a birthday present from his father, one of the more lavish gifts he had received since his celebrity parents' divorce. "You're the first person I've trusted enough to let drive her. Consider yourself privileged," he teased, a mischievous glint in his eyes. "Maybe you can show me some appreciation later." "You're such a pig," Becca laughed, the playful banter a familiar rhythm in their nearly year-long relationship. Secretly, she enjoyed the way he treated her, even if it bordered on the trashy. Marcus turned to the couple in the back seat with a smirk. "Can't you guys wait until you get a room? Damn, you're fogging up the windows." The only response was a groan from Randy, and the raised middle finger from Dacia, who was barely visible beneath Randy in the back seat. As the Bronco trundled along the winding road, a dense fog began to creep in, shrouding the landscape in an eerie haze. The visibility decreased rapidly, making it difficult to see more than a few feet ahead. Becca's heart raced as she strained to make out the road in front of them, her knuckles turning white as she gripped the steering wheel tighter. Marcus peered through the windshield, his brows furrowed in concern. "Are you sure we're going the right way?" Becca asked, her voice tinged with apprehension. Marcus nodded, though uncertainty flickered in his eyes. Yeah, just keep following the road. We'll get through this fog soon enough. Sure enough, soon the fog began to thin, tendrils of mist retreating like ghosts fading into the morning light. As the dense fog lifted, buildings began to materialize on either side of the road, their silhouettes emerging from the haze like forgotten memories. Becca let out a sigh of relief as the outlines of houses and storefronts came into view, their facades weathered by time and neglect. Marcus leaned forward, squinting to read the faded signs that hung above the entrances to the buildings. Randy and Dacia finally sat up in the back seat and began to look around. This place looks abandoned, Dacia stated, as she rubbed her arms to brush away the chill that had crept into her skin as soon as they entered the town. As they slowed down and drove down the main street, Marcus noticed curtains move in store windows and doors that shut as if someone had just walked through them. A shiver ran down his spine, and he exchanged a worried glance with Becca. The town appeared deserted, yet there were signs of life lurking just beyond their sight, sending a chill down their spines. I'm starving, Becca exclaimed, as her stomach rumbled loud enough for everyone to hear. I don't care how creepy this town is. We need to find somewhere to grab a bite to eat, she declared, her voice determined despite the eerie atmosphere surrounding them. We have to stop to buy groceries anyway, Marcus said. The cabin's only stocked with essentials. Look over there, Randy exclaimed, pointing to a building nestled between two towering trees. It's not very big, but that looks like a grocery store. As the Bronco rolled closer, the building revealed itself to be an old-fashioned diner and mercantile store, its weathered sign creaking in the gentle breeze. Faded letters spelled out, Crystal Lake Mercantile and Diner, and a faint glow emanated from its windows. Becca's eyes lit up at the sight of the diner. Thank goodness, she breathed, relieved to have found a place to satisfy her hunger. Turning sharply, Becca maneuvered the Bronco into a parking spot, right in front of the diner, the front tires bouncing off the curb before she came to a stop. Dang, Becca, see if I let you drive again. Marcus groaned, his voice laced with mock frustration, as he rubbed his hand over his forehead. Becca shot him a playful glare, before flashing him a mischievous grin. Hey, it's all part of the adventure, she retorted, the excitement of their filming project that lay ahead coursing through her veins. Becca loved being in front of a camera, and dreamed that someday she would star in a real movie, and not just one made as a school project by her friends. An old rusty bell jingled reluctantly as the four friends walked into the diner. It was a unique establishment, but not unusual for a small town. On one side stood the diner, with half a dozen tables and a small bar, the worn wood of the furniture telling stories of years gone by. The aroma of freshly brewed coffee mingled with the faint scent of grease, creating an atmosphere that was both comforting and nostalgic. On the other side of the room was a store that sold a wide range of items, including groceries and knickknacks. Shelves lined the walls, stocked with canned goods, snacks, and various household items. The sound of the cash register could be heard faintly in the background, a steady rhythm punctuating the quiet of the diner. As the friends took in their surroundings, a sense of curiosity mingled with apprehension. The diner seemed frozen in time, a relic of a bygone era, nestled within the quiet town of Darkwater. As the four friends stepped further into the diner, they cast curious glances around at the handful of patrons scattered throughout the room. At one table, an elderly couple sat huddled together, sipping coffee and sharing whispered conversations. In a corner booth, a lone figure hunched over a plate of food, their face obscured by shadows. The air was thick with an unspoken tension, and the friends exchanged wary looks as they made their way towards an empty table near the back. As they settled into their seats, the sound of footsteps approached from behind the small bar. A middle-aged woman emerged from the shadows, her apron stained and her weary eyes filled with a hint of suspicion. She offered the group a tentative smile as she approached their table. "Welcome to Darkwater Diner," she greeted them, her voice tinged with a hint of weariness. "What can I get you folks today?" They each placed their order, the clinking of silverware against plates filling the air as they waited in anticipation. After she finished scribbling on her pad, the waitress looked up, her eyes curious as she addressed the group. "You're not from around here, are you?" she asked. The friends exchanged nervous glances, a sense of unease settling over them as they realized they were being scrutinized. Marcus cleared his throat, offering the waitress a hesitant smile. "No, we're just passing through," he replied, his voice wavering slightly. "We're actually headed to Crystal Lake to work on a school project." The waitress raised an eyebrow, her gaze lingering on Marcus for a moment before she nodded. "Crystal Lake, huh?" she mused, her tone cautious. "Be careful out there. There's some strange things that happen around these parts." While enjoying their meal, the friends discussed their plans for the filming project, shared anecdotes about their past experiences, and bantered with each other in their usual playful manner. However, their conversation was occasionally interrupted by moments of unease, especially after their encounter with the waitress, which led to a more subdued atmosphere during their meal. As the friends finished their meal, the atmosphere in the diner remained tense. They exchanged cautious glances, each lost in their own thoughts as they pushed their plates aside and prepared to leave. Marcus signaled for the check, and after settling the bill, the group rose from their seats and made their way towards the exit. The rusty bell jingled reluctantly as they stepped out into the cool evening air, the sound echoing through the empty streets of Darkwater. Outside, the sky had darkened. The friends hurried to the Bronco, eager to put distance between themselves and the eerie atmosphere of the diner. As Marcus started the engine and pulled out of the parking lot, Becca glanced out the window at the fading silhouette of the Darkwater Diner. A shiver ran down her spine, and she couldn't shake the feeling that they were being watched. As the dusty road wound its way through the dense forest, the Bronco carrying Marcus, Becca, Randy, and Dacia approached their destination, the secluded cabin near Crystal Lake. Marcus gripped the steering wheel with anticipation, a grin spreading across his face as he glanced at his friends in the rearview mirror. "Can you believe we're finally here?" Marcus exclaimed, his excitement palpable. Dacia leaned forward from the back seat, her eyes sparkling with excitement. "I can't wait to get started on filming," she said, her voice filled with enthusiasm. "This is going to be our big break in Mr. Sheffield's class. I can feel it." Randy chuckled from beside her, his infectious laughter filling the cabin of the Bronco. "I hope you're ready for my Oscar-winning performance," he joked, earning a playful punch from Dacia. Dacia couldn't help but smile at Randy's antics. She glanced out the window at the towering trees lining the road, a sense of foreboding tugging at her thoughts. As they rounded a bend in the road, the cabin came into view, its weathered exterior blending seamlessly with the surrounding wilderness. The air seemed to crackle with anticipation as Marcus brought the Bronco to a stop in front of the cabin. "We made it," Marcus said, his voice tinged with excitement. "Our own little slice of paradise. Look, you can even see the lake from here." "They should have named it Darkwater Lake after the town. There isn't anything crystal about it," Becca said as she took in the lake view. Marcus chuckled as he looked out at the lake, glistening in the distance. "You might be onto something there, Becca," Marcus said with a smirk, his excitement undiminished. "But hey, a little darkness adds character to the setting, right?" The group shared a laugh, their anticipation building as they unloaded their belongings from the Bronco and made their way towards the cabin. Randy slung his arm around Daisha's shoulders, giving her a playful squeeze as they followed Marcus and Becca up the creaky wooden steps to the front porch. As they entered the cabin, the musty scent of aged wood filled their nostrils, mingling with the fresh air blowing in from the open windows. The interior was cozy and inviting, with rustic furnishings and a fireplace that promised warmth against the chill of the evening. "Wow, this place is perfect. I can totally imagine a psycho breaking in and killing everyone here," Becca exclaimed as she began to explore. "Where's our room, Marcus?" Marcus chuckled at Becca's dark humor, shaking his head in amusement as he followed her into the cabin. "You have such a way with words, Becca," he said with a grin. "Our room is upstairs, last door on the left." Becca flashed him a mischievous grin before bounding up the stairs, her excitement evident in every step. Randy and Daisha followed close behind, their laughter echoing through the cabin as they explored their temporary home. As they settled into their rooms and began unpacking their belongings, the atmosphere was light and jovial, the friends already making plans for their filming project. Later, as Randy sifted through the books on the shelf near the fireplace, his curiosity was piqued by the titles that lined the dusty shelves. He reached for an older leather-bound tome, tucked away in the corner. As he pulled it from its resting place, a yellowed envelope tumbled out and landed at his feet. Curious, Randy picked up the envelope and examined it, noting the faded handwriting scrawled across the front. With a sense of intrigue, he tore open the envelope and unfolded the brittle paper inside. As he read the contents, his eyes widened in disbelief. The letter was a warning, written in shaky handwriting, its words filled with desperation and fear. It spoke of a curse that plagued the area surrounding Crystal Lake, a curse that dated back decades. According to the letter, a young boy had drowned in the lake many years ago, and every spring since his death, he returned to exact revenge on anyone who dared to venture near the water's edge.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As any horror movie fan knows, the Friday the 13th movie series is one of the most iconic and enduring franchises in the horror genre. The series was created by filmmaker Sean S. Cunningham, an American filmmaker, director, producer, and writer, who is best known for directing and producing several horror films, beginning in the early 1970s. The original Friday the 13th film was released in 1980. It was heavily inspired by the success of John Carpenter's Halloween from 1978, which popularized the slasher genre. The series revolves around the character of Jason Voorhees, a silent masked killer who seeks vengeance for the death of his mother, Mrs. Voorhees, in the first film. Most of the films are set at the fictional Camp Crystal Lake, a summer camp plagued by the curse of Jason Voorhees. Crystal Lake serves as the central location where most of the action in the Friday the 13th series takes place. The campgrounds of Crystal Lake, specifically Camp Crystal Lake, are the focal point of many of the films. It's here that the legend of Jason Voorhees begins, following the drowning of the young Jason due to negligence by camp counselors. Crystal Lake is portrayed as having a dark and haunted history, with a curse surrounding the area due to the tragic events that occurred there. Crystal Lake symbolizes the embodiment of fear, as it becomes synonymous with the terror inflicted by Jason Voorhees and other malevolent forces depicted in the series. The story of Jason Voorhees is a complex and tragic tale woven throughout the Friday the 13th movie series. Once nestled within the dense forest of Crystal Lake, there lived a boy named Jason Voorhees. He was born into the world with a face marred by deformities, a fact that earned him cruel taunts and isolation from his peers. Despite his struggles, Jason found solace in the company of his doting mother, Pamela Voorhees, who worked tirelessly as a cook at the nearby camp Crystal Lake. As fate would have it, tragedy struck one fateful summer day. On Friday the 13th, young Jason, burdened by his hydrocephalus, wandered too close to the lake's edge. Unbeknownst to him, the counselors entrusted with his care were too preoccupied with their own affairs to notice his plight. With a splash, Jason slipped beneath the surface, the murky water swallowing him whole. Pamela's world shattered when she received the news of her son's drowning. Consumed by grief and rage, she vowed vengeance upon those she deemed responsible for her beloved Jason's demise. Clutching at bloodied vengeance, she embarked on a rampage, her fury unleashed upon the unsuspecting counselors of Camp Crystal Lake. One by one, they fell to her wrath until one final girl remained to confront the madness that gripped the once peaceful camp. In the end, Pamela met her demise at the hands of the resilient survivor, her reign of terror brought to an end. But unknown to all, Jason Voorhees, presumed dead and gone, lurked in the shadows, his spirit twisted by the trauma of his tragic end. Years passed, and the legend of Jason Voorhees faded into obscurity, relegated to little more than a cautionary tale. Yet beneath the tranquil surface of Crystal Lake, a malevolent force stirred. With each passing year, Jason grew stronger, his thirst for vengeance unquenched. In the darkness of the woods, masked and silent, Jason emerged from his watery grave, a towering figure of terror, clad in tattered garments. His journey of retribution had only just begun. Through the decades, Jason's legend grew, his name whispered in hushed tones by those who dared to tread near the cursed grounds of Crystal Lake. With each new victim, each fresh spatter of blood upon the forest floor, Jason's infamy spread like wildfire, his reign of terror spanning generations. Though many would attempt to put an end to his rampage, none could truly extinguish the flames of his fury. For Jason Voorhees, the boy who never knew love and life, had become something far more than human, a relentless force of nature, driven by a singular purpose, to reclaim that which was taken from him, one life at a time. And so the saga of Jason Voorhees, the legend of Crystal Lake's most infamous son, continues to haunt the nightmares of all who dare to venture into the darkness. In Friday the 13th, Part 2, 1981, Jason, now a fully grown man, returns to Camp Crystal Lake to avenge his mother's death. He dons a burlap sack over his head as his first makeshift mask. In Friday the 13th, Part 3, 1982, Jason acquires his iconic hockey mask after killing a prankster named Shelley. Throughout subsequent sequels, Jason continues his killing spree, targeting camp counselors, teenagers, and anyone who ventures near Crystal Lake. Despite numerous apparent deaths, Jason repeatedly returns often due to supernatural or mystical reasons, cementing his status as an unstoppable force of evil. Crystal Lake has become an iconic location in horror cinema, alongside other fictional settings like Haddonfield from Halloween and Elm Street from A Nightmare on Elm Street. The name Crystal Lake has been referenced in various forms of media, including films, television shows, and literature, often as an homage to the Friday the 13th series. Despite the fictional nature, Crystal Lake has become a popular tourist attraction for fans of the series, with some locations used for filming being visited by enthusiasts. There are several real-life locations named Crystal Lake, but none of them are directly associated with the fictional Crystal Lake depicted in the Friday the 13th movie series. The Crystal Lake featured in the films is entirely fictional and serves as the primary setting for the horror franchise. However, the numerous lakes across the United States that share the name Crystal Lake can be found in various states such as Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin, and others. While they may share the name, they do not have any connections to the events or mythology. But that doesn't make fans of Friday the 13th any less likely to be chilled to the core by the name when they visit any of these lakes.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
As Randy gathered his thoughts, the sound of footsteps approached from behind him. He turned to see Marcus standing in the doorway, a concerned expression etched on his face. "What's wrong, Randy?" Marcus asked, noticing the unease in his friend's demeanor. Randy hesitated for a moment before holding up the letter, his voice trembling as he spoke. "I found this," he said, his words barely above a whisper. "It's a warning about a curse, about Crystal Lake." Marcus's eyes widened as he read the contents of the letter, the color draining from his face. "This can't be real," he muttered, his voice barely audible. Before they could discuss the implications of the letter any further, a sudden noise from outside interrupted their conversation. It sounded like footsteps, heavy and deliberate, crunching through the fallen leaves on the forest floor. The friends exchanged nervous glances, the hairs on the back of their necks standing on end. Without a word, they hurried to the window, peering out into the darkness of the surrounding woods. But there was nothing there, just the stillness of the night and the ominous silhouette of the trees swaying in the breeze. As they turned away from the window, Marcus shivered as a chill ran down his spine. The curse of Crystal Lake felt very real at that moment, and he couldn't shake the feeling that they were being watched, that something malevolent lurked just beyond the safety of the cabin walls. The following morning, the friends gathered outside the cabin, their excitement obvious among them, as they prepared to begin filming their slasher movie. Marcus stood behind the camera as he adjusted the settings and checked the angle of the shot. "All right, everyone ready?" Marcus called out, his voice echoing through the quiet forest. "Let's make some movie magic." Becca, Randy, and Dacia exchanged excited glances, their adrenaline pumping as they slipped into character and prepared for their first scene. Becca took her place in front of the camera, a look of faux terror plastered on her face as she awaited her cue. With a nod from Marcus, she began, the friends throwing themselves into their roles with gusto. Becca screamed as Randy lunged forward with a prop knife, the sound echoing through the trees as Marcus captured every moment on film. As they filmed take after take, the excitement only grew, the friends reveling in the thrill of bringing their vision to life. Despite the lingering unease from the discovery of the letter, they pushed aside their fears and threw themselves wholeheartedly into their project. As the scene reached its climax, Randy lunged forward with the prop knife, his face twisted into a menacing grin as he pretended to attack Becca. But in a sudden, unexpected twist, Dacia let out a blood-curdling scream, her eyes widening in genuine terror as she stumbled backward, a look of shock spreading across her face. The friends froze, their hearts pounding in their chests, as they watched in horror. Dacia's scream was too real, too visceral to be part of the act. And as they looked closer, they realized with dawning horror that the blood staining her shirt was not fake. It was all too real. Their shock intensified when they saw a large knife protruding from Dacia's back, a chilling realization that shattered any semblance of the scene being staged. For a moment, silence hung heavy in the air, broken only by the sounds of their labored breathing and the distant chirping of crickets. Then chaos erupted as the friends rushed to Dacia's side, their voices overlapping in a cacophony of panic and confusion. But amidst the chaos, Marcus remained strangely calm, his brow furrowed in disbelief as he surveyed the scene before him. "Come on, guys. I know you're trying to prank me," he muttered, his voice barely audible over the commotion. But deep down, a nagging sense of unease tugged at Marcus's thoughts, a voice in the back of his mind whispering that something far more sinister was at play. As Marcus struggled to maintain his composure amidst the chaos, Becca's panicked voice cut through the commotion. "This isn't a prank, Marcus," she exclaimed, her eyes wide with fear, as she knelt beside Dacia's motionless form. Randy hovered nearby, his expression a mix of shock and disbelief. "She's not breathing," he said, his voice trembling as he reached out to check for a pulse. As the reality of the situation began to sink in, Marcus's facade of calm cracked, replaced by a growing sense of dread. He stared at Dacia's lifeless body, his mind reeling with disbelief. "Who could have done this? I didn't see anyone." Becca's voice quivered with fear and confusion as she knelt beside Dacia's lifeless body, her hands trembling as she reached out to touch her friend's cold skin. "She was just standing there, a few feet from me." "We have to call for help." Marcus's brow furrowed in disbelief as he surveyed the grisly scene before them, his mind racing with a mix of horror and disbelief. "This doesn't make sense," he muttered, his voice strained with emotion. "There's no one else here. How could this have happened?" Randy, his hands clenched into fists at his sides, struggled to maintain his composure as he fought back tears of shock and sorrow. "We need to get out of here," he said, his voice barely above a whisper. "We need to call the police and get help." With a sense of urgency, Marcus reached for his phone, his fingers trembling as he dialed emergency services. Becca watched in silence, her heart heavy with grief, as she struggled to come to terms with the loss of her friend. As Marcus relayed their location to the dispatcher, his voice strained with emotion, Becca looked around to the shadows looming in the surrounding forest. The eerie silence seemed to press in on them, suffocating in its intensity. Becca's gaze darted nervously from tree to tree, searching for any sign of movement, any indication of the unseen presence that seemed to lurk just beyond their field of vision. Marcus, still on the phone, shivered as he considered the implications of their situation. Someone or something was out there, watching them, waiting for the perfect moment to strike. The thought sent a wave of fear coursing through his veins, but he pushed it aside. It was too late for Dacia, but it wasn't too late for them. They brought a sheet out and covered Dacia's lifeless body, afraid to disturb the scene. "Can we go inside and wait?" Becca asked, fighting back tears. "If I have to stare at that sheet, I think I'll lose my mind." "Sure, it shouldn't be long. We can't be more than 10 miles from town," Marcus replied as he wrapped his arm around Becca's shoulder and led her inside. Randy, staring at the body as if transfixed and unwilling to accept that Dacia was really dead, followed moments later. They waited for half an hour and then began to fear that no one was coming. Marcus made the call again, but this time the call was disconnected mid-ring. He tried several more times. "Something's not right here," Marcus said, looking like the blood had drained from his face. "I'm going for help," Randy suddenly exclaimed. "You can't go out there by yourself. It's not safe," Becca pleaded. But Randy was determined. "Can I borrow your Bronco, Marcus? I'll go get help." "Sure." Marcus didn't even hesitate as he tossed him the keys. "Becca and I'll stay here with Dacia. Be careful." Randy took off out the door, Without another word, he hopped in the Bronco and took off. Marcus turned to Becca, his voice urgent. "Can you make sure everything is locked up? I'm going to search around and see if I can find something to defend ourselves with." Scouring the kitchen, Marcus grabbed a couple of knives, but they seemed insufficient. Determined, he combed through the other rooms before ascending the stairs. As he rummaged through a closet, a piercing scream rang through the air, sending a jolt of fear through him. Without a moment's hesitation, Marcus bolted down the stairs, clutching a knife tightly in his hand. But by the time he reached the bottom, Becca was nowhere to be found, and the back door stood wide open, ominously gaping into the night. Heart pounding, Marcus rushed out onto the deck, his voice trembling as he called out for Becca. But his cries echoed into the darkness, unanswered. It was then that he noticed the crimson streaks staining the wooden steps, leading away from the cabin and into the dense woods beyond. Instinct kicking in, Marcus followed the trail of blood, each step heavier than the last, as he ventured deeper into the foreboding forest, his mind racing with fear and uncertainty. Ignoring the gnawing sense of dread in the pit of his stomach, Marcus ventured out into the darkening forest in search of Becca. As the crimson trail began to fade, he heard the sound of a motor and cautiously followed it. He found himself on the road that led away from the cabin, and there, in the ditch, was his Bronco, abandoned and still running. His heart sank as he stumbled upon Randy's lifeless body, lying crumpled on the ground, his features contorted in a mask of agony. The sight sent a wave of panic coursing through Marcus's veins, his mind reeling with disbelief as he struggled to comprehend the horror of what he was seeing. But his shock turned to outright terror when he discovered Becca's body nearby, her lifeless form hidden among the trees, her once vibrant spirit snuffed out by some unseen malevolence. Overwhelmed with grief and panic, Marcus's thoughts raced as he grappled with the grim reality of their deaths. All his friends were dead, their lives cut short by a killer who lurked in the shadows of the forest. His mind spinning with terror, Marcus's senses went into overdrive as he became acutely aware of a presence lurking just beyond the trees. With a sinking feeling in the pit of his stomach, he turned to see a masked figure emerging from the darkness, its eyes gleaming with malice as it locked gazes with Marcus. A surge of adrenaline shot through Marcus's veins as he turned and fled, his heart pounding in his chest as he raced towards the safety of the cabin. Every fiber of his being screamed for him to run faster, to escape the clutches of the killer who pursued him with relentless determination. With trembling hands, Marcus reached the cabin and scrambled inside, his breath coming in ragged gasps as he slammed the door shut behind him. But his relief was short-lived as he realized the killer was not far behind, pounding on the door with a ferocity that almost made him lose control of his bladder. Fear clawed at Marcus's insides as he braced himself for the inevitable confrontation, his mind racing with thoughts of survival. Suddenly, the door burst open. Marcus's instincts took over, and he lunged forward, plunging the knife into the masked figure with a primal scream. The room fell silent as the figure stumbled backward, the mask slipping from their face to reveal the shocked expression of Becca. Horror flooded Marcus's senses as the realization of what he had done washed over him. His heart pounded in his chest as he stared at Becca, her eyes wide with disbelief and pain. "What have I done?" Marcus whispered, his voice trembling with remorse as he dropped the knife, his hands shaking uncontrollably. Tears welled up in his eyes as Marcus knelt beside Becca, her lifeblood staining the floor around her. His heart pounded with a mix of horror and relief as two other figures stepped through the door, pulling off their masks to reveal Randy and Dacia standing before him. The weight of the revelation hit Marcus like a physical blow. It was all a prank, a cruel joke, orchestrated by his friends to inspire his sense of creativity. But as he looked at Becca's pale face and the pool of blood spreading beneath her, Marcus couldn't find it in himself to laugh. The room seemed to spin as Marcus struggled to come to terms with the reality of what had just transpired. The laughter and jests of moments ago now felt hollow and empty. Guilt gnawed at Marcus's insides as he stared at his friends, their faces etched with concern and regret. He wanted to scream, to lash out at them for putting him through such an ordeal, but all he could manage was a choked sob as he reached out to touch Becca's cold, lifeless hand. Thank you for joining us on our journey to visit Crystal Lake. Tune in next week as we discuss another terrorific location. I'm Carmen Carrion. Remember, you can send me suggestions and stories of haunted places to my email, carmencarrion@gmail.com. That is carmencarrion@gmail.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter, @CarmenCarrion. Go to eeriecast.com to find other terrifying podcasts, such as Freaky Folklore, also hosted by me, Carmen Carrion. Until next time, stay safe out there until I see you at our next destination.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.